I would like you to memorize with me a verse. It's Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Many of you may know that already. If you don't know it, please turn to that passage, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. I trust that by the time you leave this morning, you will know this verse by heart. You can quote it from memory, and that you will also understand what this verse is saying. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, when you find it, if you don't know it, please read it. If you do know it, then let's quote it together. Let's say it with a reference before and after. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. You know, as society declines, there are many good words that fall into disfavor. As our culture changes, people are not using some of the words that used to be used well. There was a good word that was used years ago. It was the word discriminating. It meant to be able to recognize or draw fine distinctions, to be perceptive. Today, if you're discriminating, people think that you're a racist. But the word discriminating is a good word. Another good word is the word we're going to be talking about today, and it's the word exclusive. And yet people think about the word exclusive as being something that we should not use because nobody should be excluded. We love to sing the song, "He Included Me." It goes like this: I am so happy in Christ today that I go singing along my way. Yes, I'm so happy to know and say Jesus included me too. Now it's talking about salvation. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. And indeed, everyone is included in the invitation. But just as well, many will be excluded from heaven because they did not take and accept the invitation. So when you have inclusion, you also have exclusion. And this morning we're going to see that salvation is exclusive because the Bible says in Acts 4:12, read it or quote it with me, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When you look at the word exclude in the dictionary, it means to prevent from entering, to keep out, to prevent from being included. You see, Satan's program is inclusive. His first recorded words, as we see them in the Word of God, are these: yea, hath God said that ye shall not eat of every tree that is in the garden? Every tree? You see, he is inclusive. Don't listen to God when he excludes one tree, Eve. God is exclusive. I am inclusive. So for people today to say that they're inclusive in everything, well, guess who your brother is? Christianity is not inclusive. Christianity is exclusive. Are you ready for this? Heaven is not inclusive. Heaven is exclusive. What makes heaven heaven is who will be there? Jesus Christ. Which means there will also be light and life and purity and holiness. Therefore, it must exclude death, sorrow, crying, pain. Aren't you glad there are some things that are excluded from heaven? Amen. But not only those things that I just listed are excluded, but so are some people. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They will be excluded. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 gives you a whole list of people. The Bible says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Among those listed are drunkards, homosexuals, those who are practicing that lifestyle. They are excluded from heaven. No matter if somebody says that you can be a Christian and be homosexual like Pete Buttigieg does, he's a liar because God's word is truth. Amen. And God's word tells us the truth. Christianity is exclusive. Heaven is exclusive. Salvation is exclusive. It's a lie of the devil that there's many ways to be saved. It's a lie of the devil to say that there are many leaders who can lead you to salvation. It's a lie of the devil to say, here's the name that you should trust. When the Bible says, would you quote it with me again, please? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That verse is unmistakably clear. There's no other name. Salvation is exclusive. And as you look here at Acts chapter 4, and perhaps you're looking at verse 12 or you've got it memorized, the fact that salvation is exclusive is evident by the two none others of soul salvation. You see, there are two none others in Acts 4:12 that will make up our outline this morning. It's a very simple two-point outline. There is none other stone. There is none other name. There is none other in soul salvation. Now, I specify soul salvation because people erroneously think that salvation, that they got saved when they were miraculously saved through an accident. That's the saving of the body. The body did not die there. So they think that that is somehow salvation. No, I'm talking about salvation of the soul. Or having been cured of some terminal disease that, oh yes, I was saved. No, yes, your body may have been, but your soul has not been saved. Jesus said, and fear not them that kill the body, but fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's read verses 1 to 12 of Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it made known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Say it together, please. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I want you to see the first none other in verse 12. Here's the point. There is no other stone. You say, where do you get that? Where do you get the fact that there is no other stone? In other words, I'm talking about he is the exclusive stone. Notice again what the first part of verse 12 says. Neither is there salvation in any other. I'm going to explain that in just a moment, but two things about this exclusive stone. First of all, the cornerstone and salvation. When you see the word salvation there in verse 12, it actually has the article before it, and it means neither is there the salvation in any other. And it is also a double negative. I love double negatives in the Greek because I, for once, am able to use two negatives in a sentence and not get in trouble for it by my English teacher or by my mom. A double negative in the Greek is there for emphasis. And folks, there is a double negative. You don't see it in the English because our translators have rightly translated it without two negatives, because two negatives in math make, if you're multiplying, two negatives in the Greek don't make a positive, they make an emphasis. And the emphasis here is this. In fact, let me read this literally. And there is not in another, not the salvation. Folks, if you don't get the idea, here's the idea. There just ain't no other stone. There's not. And it is highly emphasized here. And so it is the salvation referring to the previous salvation referred to. You go back to verse 9, and it says there, by what means he is made whole, or by what means this man has been saved. That salvation is in no other stone. So there's the cornerstone in salvation. Also, we see the cornerstone in other stones. Neither is there salvation in any other. Question is, in any other what? And I've already given you the answer, but what has he just been talking about there in verse 11? Peter just declared in verse 11, this is the stone, referring to Jesus Christ of Nazareth in verse 10. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, verse 10. Verse 11, this is the stone. Verse 12, neither is there any salvation in any other stone. That is the only stone. Interestingly enough, you have the word other occur twice in this verse. In any other, and there is none other name. R.C. Trench, in his book on Greek synonyms, talks about how sometimes we just gloss over words in our Bibles because we're not reading Greek. And I am not a Greek scholar by any means, but I love to study it when I get a chance. And as I read this verse, let me read, just give you the Greek word when I get to the word other. Would you follow me? Neither is there salvation in any allos. For there is none heteros name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Allos is the first other in Greek. Heteros is the second other. Now, you probably recognize the word heteros. Heteros. Allos, maybe you don't see. So let us get to the dictionary. Let us get into the Latin here. Let's have some real technical training here this morning, okay? Neither is there any salvation in any other, and that's the Greek word allos. Now, I'm not going to try to teach you Greek. I want you to memorize the verse, but I want you to see something here. That word, that first other, none in any other, is identical with the Latin word alias. Allos or alias. In other words, many stones look identical. They may come from the same quarry, but they're different. They look the same, but they're different. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know what? In John chapter 1, the Pharisees send a delegation to John the Baptist. And they say, who are you? And they wondered if he might be the Messiah. Would you go with me to John chapter 1, please? I want you to note this. And a couple of other passages where they confuse John the Baptist with the Messiah, and in other cases where they confuse Jesus with somebody else. In John chapter 1, they say in verse 19, who art thou? And he says in verse 20, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? So the fact that they are confusing John the Baptist with that prophet, do you remember the message on that prophet that we just preached? Found in Acts chapter 3? That Jesus Christ would be that prophet like unto Moses? So they're confusing John the Baptist with that prophet. They're confusing John the Baptist with the Messiah. And so there's this confusion reigning among them. Go back to Matthew chapter 16 and notice what Jesus is saying to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Note their answer in verse 14. They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." So they're confusing him with Jeremiah. Maybe he's the Elijah. Maybe he's John the Baptist. You know, who is he? He looks like all the other, I don't say this sacrilegiously, all the other stones that is used to build up the temple. And by the way, Peter makes this clear in 2 Peter. He talks about us as being living stones in the building of the church. And yet there's one who's the head stone, the head cornerstone. And he points out that's Jesus Christ. So I'm referring to these other men as stones because Jesus has talked about the stone in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. And you saw in Acts chapter 3 and verse 22 that Moses prophesied that when Jesus of Nazareth would come, he would be a prophet like unto me. So Jesus is being likened unto Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. Folks, there's many stones. But there is no salvation in any other stone. And even that word "other" bears this out. There is no other stone. There were Jews who were prophets, men of God, but none of them were the cornerstone. Not in another stone of the same kind, absolutely not, is the salvation. To read it awkwardly, but technically correctly. You know, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." It's highly offensive that a pope puts himself in that place. You know, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of life hath not life. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Exclusive. There is no other stone. Jesus Christ is clearly the stone. The builders saw no value in him. And Peter is now declaring to them, because they're standing right there in the Sanhedrin. Last week I point out there's 35 on this side, 35 on this side. The high priest is sitting here. Peter, John, and the cripple, the former cripple, are standing right in the middle of them. And Peter is basically declaring to them that it was by this stone that this man was healed. The builders had set this stone at naught. They had rejected this stone with contempt. Peter, John, and this lame man, formerly lame man, are on trial. But now Peter's putting them on trial. They're the ones being tried by what he's saying. Not too many days earlier, Jesus had said to these same chief priests and elders and these Sadducees, he said this in Matthew 21:42, "Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Have you never read Psalm 118 and verse 22 where it says, "This is the stone that the builders have rejected"? You need to read your Bibles. Remember the Jewish legend that I talked about last week? When the Temple of Solomon was being built, all the stones were sent up from a quarry from below, and they were practically the same size, the same shape. But one day a stone was found among all those that had been sent up to them to build the temple that was different from all the rest. And the builders said, "There's no place for this stone. There must be a mistake." And so they rolled that stone to the edge of the cliff and tumbled it down into the Valley of Kidron. As the years passed, remember how many years Solomon's temple was in building? 7 years. As the years passed, they were finally ready for the chief stone. They were ready for the cornerstone. And so search was diligently made. This word was sent down to the quarry. Send up the chief, the cornerstone. The word came back. We sent that to you a long time ago. They began to search for it. They couldn't find it. Then one of the men who had been building when that stone first came up said, I remember now. There was a stone different from the rest. And we thought there was no place for it. And so we tumbled it down into the valley below. So as the story goes, they went down to the valley of Kidron, and there they found the stone now covered with debris, dirt, the very stone that they had rejected. So now they had to hoist it to the top of the cliff, then back to the platform, and they put it into place, and it fit perfectly. You see, the stone that the builders rejected became the head stone of the corner. And that's what Jesus says he is in Matthew 21. And that's what Peter is now saying. That stone you rejected, neither is there salvation in any other stone. Folks, to be saved, you must change your mind. You must repent about this stone that everybody else is rejecting and setting at naught. You need to repent about that. People continue to set at naught that stone. They dismiss Jesus Christ with contempt, and they rely upon the stone of self-effort. They rely upon the stone of some other notable man, some even good. Moses, Abraham. There's none other. There's no other stone. It's significant that Peter never commanded these council members to repent. Does that strike any of you? As I was studying this yesterday, he never commands them to repent. In chapter 2, when he was preaching to those people on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent. And then in chapter 3, when he's preaching to these people in the temple, he says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. To these men, he doesn't say repent. This is a sermon of judgment. This is a message where he tells them where they stand before God. They have rejected the stone, and there's none other. Having rejected him, their eternal destiny is made clear. They would know that a prophet was among them. And Peter has declared that. There is none other stone. Neither is there salvation in any other stone. That's the first simple point. So the second simple point is, there is no other name. There is no other name. In other words, not only is the stone exclusive, so is the name Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, you go back to verse 7 of the same chapter, and the Sanhedrin had been saying, by what name have you done this? By what name does this man now stand before us whole? By what name? To do something in the name of somebody else is to do something by that person's authority. So they're asking, by whose authority was this man healed? Three things about this other name. I want you to see the uniqueness of this name, for there is none other. It makes this name unique. There is none other. Now, we've already looked at the word other in the first part of the verse, alas. Now we look at this other, heteros. And it's equivalent to the Latin alter. A-L-T-E-R. The other one was equivalent to alias. This one is alter, which means to change or make differently, to modify. Men are always trying to improve things. They make progress by discovering alternatives. Other alternative methods of doing something. Hey, what if we, instead of walking, would ride a horse? That's an alternate way of transportation. And hey, what if we, instead of riding the horse because you get saddle sore, let's pull a wagon behind the horse and now we can get more people in the way. You see, progress is being made. And after a while, you know, what if we, instead of a horse that you had to feed and clean up after, what if we had some kind of a self-powered automobile and we could just get into that automobile, we could go greater distances and you don't have to feed, you have to put gas in it. But now we're making progress. Alternative forms of modes of transportation. And after a while, you know, the Wright brothers were saying, you know, why do we have to stay on the ground? What if we could just build something and as they watch the birds fly, we could just get up there and we could fly with the birds. And so progress is made. And continual progress is being made. By such investigating, great things have been invented. And so we are used to, especially in our age, if you don't like something, let's come up with an alternative. And men adopt an alternative mentality in dealing with their sin, in dealing with death, in dealing with hell. Oh, surely, man, there's got to be a way we can do this. We can do this. So they make idols. They flagellate themselves. There's got to be a way, because men are good at coming up with alternatives. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. There's no alternative name. It's just not there. So there's the uniqueness of this name. But look at the realm of this name, under heaven, given among men. The realm of this name, under heaven, given among men. Literally, there is no other name from heaven. Other alternate names have not come from heaven. They've come from hell. Oh, you can be saved by such and such, and here's the name. And they come up with that. None other name under heaven. None other name from heaven. Given among men. No other name which had been given among men. Notice the universal offer of salvation among men. For God so loved the world. The offer is universal. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth that is universal. God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. It is universal. That's the realm of this name. None other name under heaven given among men. And then we see the necessity of this name, whereby we must be saved. Here's the necessity, folks. Literally, whereby it is necessary us to be saved. The necessity of this name, Jesus, is in God's plan. He is the one who deemed it necessary. Back in December of 2005, there was an article in the Indianapolis Star newspaper that reported that those who opened the legislative session of the Indiana House of Representatives in prayer could not do so in Jesus' name. They actually had a law passed in Indiana. You cannot do this in Jesus' name. So they were forbidding Christians to pray in Jesus' name, which, by the way, violates our freedom of speech as given in the Bill of Rights. But more so, you know what it violates? It violates the authority of Almighty God. Because it is His word that commands us to pray in Jesus' name. Who gave that name? God Himself. For me to pray in some other name is unscriptural. Why? There is no other name. That's why when you pray, you can say, and you can understand that my prayers are reaching the very throne of God, not because of me, but I am going before His throne in Jesus' name. And so that when we pray in Jesus' name. Because that's how Jesus Himself taught us to pray. These men had asked, and Peter had answered unequivocally. By whose authority do you do this? By whose name do you do this? By whose name does this man stand before us whole here? Peter told him, verse 10, Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 11, he's the stone. Verse 12, there's no other. Can we say that together? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. None other. There is none other. There's no alternative. Salvation is not through Peter himself. You would think that the popes think so. Salvation is not through Mary. Salvation is not through Moses. It's not through Abraham. All other names are excluded. There's only one. So Peter in verse 12 was still answering the question they posed in verse 7. It's only by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, verse 10. It's exclusive. Only on his authority, only in his name can anyone be saved from sin, because there's no salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If I am going to be saved, it's only through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for me. Only. And one day, we read this in Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No other name. That is the only name that has been exalted. And yet people use it as a curse word today. People don't even use it when they pray. So the question is, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Let me ask you something. Do you believe he is the Messiah? Chapter 3 and verse 20, Peter's preaching that message. Do you believe he is the one who is right now in heaven? Chapter 3, verse 21. Do you believe that he is that prophet who must be heeded at all costs? Chapter 3 and verse 23. Do you believe that he is the rejected stone that has become the head of the corner? Chapter 4 and verse 11. Do you believe that he is the only one by whose name, by whose authority you can be saved? Chapter 4 and verse 12. To miss Jesus Christ is to miss everything. To miss him as the cornerstone. To miss his name is the only name whereby we must be saved. There's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. There's no other name. It's like Matthew Henry once said, if we be not eternally saved, we are eternally undone. And it's only through his name. Can we say that verse again? Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other heaven under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.